Morning, everyone. It's time for our KDHL AM Minnesota program. I have three very distinguished gentlemen sitting in studios, this studio. You notice I said three. There's actually four people sitting here, but I'm not a distinguished gentleman. These guys are Randy Tweehoff is with the Salvation Army. So is Kirk Mansfield and Mel Sanborn, all with the Salvation Army local Red Kettle campaign. They're having a kickoff benefit concert over at Trinity Lutheran Church in the gymnasium there. Really nice place. Got good acoustics for the band. And they're going to have, obviously, it's a kickoff concert, so you're going to have music. Randy Tweehoff, good morning, and thanks for coming in today.
Thanks, Gordy, for having us.
And you bet.
We enjoy coming in to share about what's coming up and get the word out to people. And we know a number of people listen because that's how we got one of our board members from last year.
He's sitting here, Kirk Mansfield. Yeah.
So really appreciate you having us on.
Yeah, not a problem. I'm guessing, and this is just a wild guess, with the government shutdown and everything that's happened, that there's a greater need for the Salvation Army services.
There is. We saw the numbers go up somewhat this year, and we're guessing next year it'll be a lot higher because our budget's an interesting budget. It starts October 1 through the end of September. So the first few months we run at a deficit because we've spent our bell-ringing money from last year, and we don't have any right now, but after Sunday, we hope to have a good chunk to get started with this campaign.
Refresh my memory. How much was raised a year ago?
I think it was either 90 or 92,000.
And the goal was 100.
The elusive $100,000 goal will be met this year.
You're pretty confident.
I think so, because people know the economy is tough, and people feel like I should be pretty thankful for what I have, and we know there's a lot that don't have, and the least we can do is share a little bit of what we have, and that's the opportunity that everybody on Sunday will get to do, is share a little bit of their Thanksgiving and wealth.
Well, I'm very shocked because it is a fundraiser that this is free. I can go for nothing. I mean, even a buck, you could raise some money, right?
Well, it's free because we know people are generous. And when they get their slice of pie from the Trinity ladies,
and boy, do they make pies.
They know that Salvation Army put out something to provide those pies, and the majority of people feel like this is free, it's a lot of fun, let's give back as much as we can.
You're going to have a Red Kettle at the event?
I believe so, yes.
I seem to recall there was one there last year, right?
I think so.
And you had some silent auction items. I know I bought a silent auction item. You're going to have that too?
We're not having a silent auction. We're having a basket raffle.
Was it a silent auction last year? I thought it was.
It was last year. And
I bought my sister's Christmas present.
There you go.
A Faribault woolen mill blanket.
And this year, you might be able to buy your sister a present for a dollar instead of the $100 that you spent last year. That's the beauty of...
She even remembers what I paid last year.
That's the beauty of basket raffles. Everybody can participate and have an equal chance of winning instead of having to keep bidding and bidding and maybe not get it. This way, you buy your ticket, your tickets. They're a dollar a piece or 25 tickets for $20.
The whole idea, though, is to raise some funds, right?
It is, exactly.
For the Salvation Army. That's why I did the $100.
Right.
That's the whole idea.
But this year you can take that $100 and buy a pie during our auction.
Well, I probably won't buy a pie because I can't eat a whole pie, but I had a sliver of one last year, an apple pie. Blueberry is my favorite. I don't think there was any left.
Probably not.
When I got there last year. Anyway, the Old Country Brothers. Kirk, do you want to tell us who the Old Country Brothers are?
I do. So the Old Country Brothers are two of the members of the Old Country Brother or the Old Country Brothers band, right? So we're just going to have the two. We were kind of joking around here at the beginning. We couldn't afford the whole band, so we're just going to have two of the four fellas come down, and they're going to play. So Greg and Jeff Sauter will be joining us on that day. And we were actually joking to the effect of we couldn't afford the whole band, so they're just bringing a snare drum. We couldn't afford the bass and all the, you know, the other instruments that come along with that. And he's only going to have three strings on the guitar instead of all the strings.
Well, they're good because I know they've been to our cancer stroll before, and they've got big hearts as well as good voices.
They do. These fellas are solid. They have an excellent following, so we're hoping some of their entourage will be in tow with them when they come to Trinity on that day. But, yeah, we're looking forward to hearing the live music. And as Randy alluded to, we'll have the pies going on. We'll have the basket items, you know, that people can put the tickets in. And Gordy, as far as the pie, like if you're just having a sliver of pie, what we'll do, instead of cutting the pie into six or eight pieces, we'll just leave it whole so it'll just be one piece. So you'll just have one piece of pie, right? So you can do that.
It's a pie auction, by the way. They're auctioning off pies.
It is.
But I do recall that I had a sliver of a piece. So I think they sell them by the piece, too, don't they? Or was that free? I don't remember which.
Yeah, you're not going to get in and out of that church without having pie and coffee, right? So that's just how that works.
Right. Mel, how long have you been involved with the Salvation Army?
Since it started in Rice County, was it 2003, I think? I read that in the paper last night. There was a very nice...
You didn't know when it started? But you've been there since it started. I mean, you read it in the paper, you said.
But that reminded me.
Oh, okay. Because
it's been years and years. I think 2003.
So over 20 years.
Yeah.
And you were part of the startup of this. Was it somebody's idea, sitting around a campfire roasting marshmallows or what?
I just had a request from my pastor wondering if I would represent our church on the board or at the meeting.
So it was started by the churches, local churches?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, okay. Do you know, Randy? Was it started by local churches?
Excuse me. The first meeting was at 4th Avenue Methodist Church, and I know there were several churches represented, and we've had a number of... What's that?
Can you sit a little closer to the mic?
And we've had a number of people from the churches that started with the original group in 2003. So I believe that the message just came to all the churches and said, we'd like to do this. Is there anybody that wants to get involved? And that's how it got started up in the upstairs of the 4th Avenue Methodist Church.
Do you remember, Mel, what the goal was the first year?
I do not. It was substantially less. But
you remember how much was raised the first year?
I do not.
Do you know, Randy?
I believe the goal was $30,000 the first year, and we had a generous benefactor that put in $10,000, so I think we ended up with $36,000.
Okay. Very nice. And now the need is greater than the $100,000 that they have for the goal, because you ran out of money the last 2 years.
Right. And that's always a good thing, to run out of money, because if we didn't run out of money, we'd feel kind of awkward trying to collect money and having it just sitting there. So it's good to run out.
Well, I like the way you're looking at that. That's good. We got to take a market update here, get our Linder market report and analysis, and when we come back, we'll talk more about what's happening on Sunday. I got a picture of a pie on the flyer here that's making me really, my mouth is watering, stomach is growling. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 530 4th Avenue Northwest here in Faribault. We invite everyone in the KDHL listening area, if you're listening in the metropolitan area, western Wisconsin, northern Iowa, come on to Faribault and enjoy a piece of pie and hear some great music and help Faribault raise $100,000 for people in need. You're all invited to come. This Sunday, the hours are 2 to 4 p.m. again at Trinity Lutheran Church right here in Faribault.
AM Minnesota on the Mighty 920 KDHL.
Good morning. It's time for the market update here on the Linder Farm Network. And this Thursday morning, joining us, Christy Van On, Van On & Company, Alexandria. Christy, looking a little higher on the corn, soybean futures with gains at this hour. What are you following?
Yeah, we're making some new contract highs for soybeans. And then, you know, even when you look at the corn market, you know, off of some recent ones. So the when you look at Dease corn, the most recent one was around 437, and we got up to just over 439 overnight trade. Kind of fading and struggling to continue through with that. But I just think people are a little bit cautious on what we could possibly see out of tomorrow's USDA crop report. Initially, like when the government shut down, you were expecting yields to decrease quite a bit. Now the average estimates are just for slight decreases in yield. And I think that's catching the market off guard. So tomorrow could be a really big report. And we also just don't know exactly what we're going to get out of this report since the government was shut down. You know, how accurate is this information? Are they going to reuse a lot of numbers? But overall, soybeans definitely the one leading out of here, making those new contract highs, 11.48 and three quarters for the January contract. Of that optimism that China will come in, I think that we got through that resistance point. You just saw buyers come back in for that as well. So really nice to see these markets, but be cautious. We just don't know what to expect out of tomorrow's report.
And why the lower look, triple digits lower in the cattle and the lean hogs?
Yeah, I think when you look at the cattle market, some of it is just the fact that they're kind of continuing to talk with Mexico about these new world screwworms and doing joint reviews and continuing to talk about it. And so I think it just makes the market a little bit cautious that you could possibly see the border open up. I don't think you're going to see that just given how problematic it could be and with our inventory issues we have already. So I'm not expecting that. But anytime you have them sitting down, talking, meeting, you're seeing this pressure show up into the cattle market. So I think that's playing a big role into it. Then hog markets broke key support levels. So that's just bringing out some selling there.
Thank you, Christy. Christy Van On, Van On & Company, Alexandria. Chicago December corn, 437, up 1 3/4, with March at 451, up 1 3/4, and July 465 1/4, and that's up. That's up 1 1/2. January beans, 1146 1/4, up 12 1/2. And March beans, 1156, up 12 1/4, now at 1156 1/4. And July, 1171 1/2, up 9 1/4. December soybean meal up 640. December soybean oil up 4. January up 1. Chicago wheat, December at 534 3/4, down 1 1/4. Minneapolis wheat, December, 572 3/4, up 3. Live cattle, December 222.02, down 325. February 221.82, down 315. November feeder cattle up 40. January 322.82, down 465. December lean hogs 78.62, down $2 now. February 78.95, down 257. The Dow down 222. This is a Linder Farm Network.
It takes years to make a farm. It takes one call to keep it safe. No one digs more dirt than American farmers. Call 811 every time before you dig. Examples include terracing projects, setting posts, drain tile installations, chisel plowing, building waterways, subsoiling, and more. Also use extreme caution when plowing, harvesting, and operating machinery near above ground natural gas piping and valves. Share these important messages with your family, tenants, managers, and workers. Remember, call 811 before you dig.
Winkert Land Services has several auctions coming up. up. On November 13th, 80 acres in Faribault County and almost 200 acres also in Faribault County. And on November 14th, 120 plus acres in Redwood County. For more information on these auctions, go to WingertLandServices.com or call 507-248-5263. That's 507-248-5263. That's our market update on the Linder Farm Network.
Again, AM Minnesota continues. We're talking about the Red Kettle Kickoff Concert and Benefit for the Rice County Unit of the Salvation Army. It's happening this Sunday at Trinity Lutheran Church in Faribault. Has there been any thought, Randy, of having a concert in Northfield as well, and in Lonsdale, and in Nearstrand? And
last year we talked about it, and there weren't a lot of board members from Northfield, and it just never got legs. And this year, after Jim Dale, who was really involved in Northfield, passed away, they got a new director, and he's just learning the whole system, and he didn't want to take that on quite yet. So hopefully.
No, he did a great job in getting lots of businesses to partake, I know, a year ago, because he was on our Northfield AM Minnesota program that we do every year but for the Salvation Army in Northfield.
Right. What I'd like to see next year is, I think we've mentioned, we have like a Battle of the Badges, friendly competition between the police departments. I'd like to see Battle of the Bands, Faribault and Northfield having concerts the same day to see which one could raise the most.
So maybe the high school bands, huh? Faribault and Northfield High School.
Maybe. That'd be cool. So time will tell, but there's always new ideas churning around, and we'll see what next year brings. But this year is, we're really excited about it. We have about three times as many baskets to raffle than we had last year to silent auction. And so there'll be plenty of baskets. We need lots of people there to buy their tickets and pick the basket they hope to win.
Mel, you got enough bell ringers yet?
I'm not working on that right now. My responsibility is to put out counter kettles in businesses.
Oh, yeah.
Throughout the, well, Nearstrand, Faribault. We put one out at Warsaw.
I know they expanded those a year ago in Northfield, too.
They do probably a lot more than we do.
Yes, they do. So it's an idea maybe to, as Randy puts it, put legs on it.
Perhaps, yeah.
Yeah. Kirk, how did you get involved in all this?
Well, this is how it started for me, right here in this room, to be honest. I was here a year ago with the commander of the post, American Legion, and we were here to talk about Veterans Day program. And so from that program, obviously this is being recorded, and you post this on demand after the fact. And so I had gone home from our conversation that we had that morning regarding Veterans Day, and I got family down in Northwest Iowa, so I was waiting for the link to come up, and I was going to send them that link. Here, you can listen to this. And I refreshed the screen a couple different times on my computer, and I kept seeing the Red Kettle Kickoff, and it was pretty intriguing. So I just clicked on that link, and I listened to Randy, and I don't, Mel, were you here last year too?
I think so.
You guys were. And so I listened to your conversation, and from that, it just kind of spurred the idea in my mind. Like, I'd always wanted to ring the bell at some point. I always was kind of in awe of the Salvation Army and the work that they do behind the scenes, and I figured it was time, you know. So from that experience of listening to them, we went to our Veterans Day program on November 10th of last year to kick off for our Critical Overwatch. And that actually was the same day as the kickoff for the Red Kettle. So when we placed our first set of boots, as we had done last year, I told the others there, I said, hey, I'm going to run down to Trinity. It's just a couple blocks down the road here. So I walked down and met up with these folks here. And Sheriff Thomas served pie, and you're, like I said earlier, you're not getting in and out of that church without having pie and a cup of coffee. So from that experience, then it's like, okay, how do I sign up to ring the bell? And it's pretty straightforward, pretty easy. It's just registertoring.com. And so I just went on and logged in, and I picked a day or two to ring the bell on my days off for vacation. And then from that experience, it was just a matter of getting to know a few of the fellows here and the ladies that are organizing all of the different events. And then I just had some time off, and so I noticed that there was quite a few slots open. They're two-hour shifts is what it amounts to. And so you just pick a shift that works for you. And then here in Faribault, we have Fairway, Hy-Vee, and then out at Walmart, there's two separate entrances there. So they have, ringing the bell at each of those positions. So as time went on and we got, I think, deeper into the month of December, certainly before Christmas, I was seeing quite a few open slots. So what I did is I had the day off already. And so what I was doing is just kind of doubling up. So rather than do four straight hours, what I was doing is I would go to, like, say, Walmart, one of the doors at Walmart in the morning. And then rather than having to do the next subsequent shift, if that one was already taken, I noticed that there were slots open at either Fairway or Hy-Vee. So what I would do is I would do a morning shift, say at Walmart or any of the locations, and then do an afternoon shift. And that actually worked out pretty well, because then I could get all my errands, run all my errands in between in that two-hour block. And it was during one of those periods that Randy actually caught me at Fairway, and he had come in and says, hey, I noticed that you're kind of doubling up here. You're taking on, more than average. And I said, well, I don't know if it's necessarily a record, but it could have been more than average. But I was just kind of inspired on what they're all doing, and just to meet folks out in the community and just see the generosity of what this community is able to offer back. And in essence, they're donating to the Red Kettle, but in essence, they're donating funds that can go to be used to help others in need. And to me, that's probably the most important aspect of that, is just being able to share that community involvement. So that's kind of where my portion of that got started. And then if you fast forward into the new year, Randy had just mentioned, during that conversation, like, hey, if you're interested in getting involved, we have a spot for you. And with my other obligations, in the veteran space, I just told him, I don't know what kind of time you're needing, but I'll help out where I can. And so then after the first of the year, he invited me to come to one of the meetings that they were having there. They meet monthly, and it's out at the new law enforcement center. And then from then, it's just kind of snowballed and just taking on as much as I'm able. I wish I could do more, but I'm just trying to do what I can, and just maybe hopefully that inspires somebody else to step forward and help out.
Your organization, 23-0, was ringing bells at Fairway.
We were, and so I just, on the Red Kettle, there's a little position at the top of that where you can put a little signage up, like who's ringing the bell for the day, and so I just printed off a little paper that had our Operation 23-0 organization, which is a nonprofit. We're trying to help out as much as we can in the veteran space. And so I just hung that sign up, and people recognized that. And then, that's actually a pretty important piece of this puzzle, too, because Kathy Thielbar, who is our director here in town, Faribault, so if somebody's in need and they come to the Salvation Army, she's going to be one of the first persons they're going to see in person. And so from one of our meetings this summer, Kathy was at the meeting out at the law enforcement center. I actually gave her my little 23-0 card and has my contact information on there. I said, Kathy, if somebody comes to you to the Salvation Army and they're in need, and you can do what you can do for them, but if you find out they're in the veteran status in that realm, if the Salvation Army can help out, do what they can, but if they need additional funds, have them contact me, and I'll see what we can do to help out in that regard. So it wasn't but 2 weeks later, I received a call. I was at work. I received a call from a young man in the area here who was in a pretty bad way. Financially, he had been off of work for a couple of months, unintended, and he got behind on his rent. And so he had actually received an eviction notice, and he was telling me about this, and he had gone to Salvation Army to see if there were any funds available to help, and then Kathy found out he was a veteran. She gave him my information. He called me. And so within 24 hours, we had that young man out of trouble. We actually were able to help get him caught up on his rent. And then we also paid some of his utilities to get him caught up on all that and get him squared away. So he's on a really good path right now. But it's all because of the fact that I gave Kathy that card. And it's all because of the fact that Randy and Mel had been on this program. And it's just a matter of, you know, I don't know, pretend to know where anyone's at spiritually, religiously. But when I went home and was waiting for you to post the Veterans Day program and I listened to these two fellows talking about Salvation Army, I said, okay, God, I'm listening. What do you got?
Yep,
and that's where it went.
Lord works in mysterious ways.
Yes, sir.
Right, Randy?
He does. And why I'm so interested in Salvation Army is because 88% of what we raise stays in Rice County. If you bring a check, put Salvation Army, Rice County, and it will certainly stay here. And not many organizations can return that much back to help. And
that's because all you guys are volunteers.
Right. And no, I was so excited when I saw Kirk signing up for so many shifts last year. I just said to myself, I said, Self, you gotta talk to him because he's going to be a key person in our organization, and glad I connected with him.
And 23-0 is going to be ringing again this year?
Yeah, I'll represent, you know, obviously being on the Salvation Army board now for Rice County, you know, I'll have that capacity, but I'll certainly put up the signage again for 23-0. I mean, that's kind of part of our community outreach as well, you know, just to keep that name and that space reserved and just let people know we're here to help. And certainly our veterans, anyone's welcome to come out. But yeah, I would just encourage, you know, you don't have to listen to the radio program. I mean, you can just show up. I mean, you register to ring.com. It's pretty straightforward. It's pretty easy. I mean, anybody that's out there that has any idea that they might want to do something to give back into the community, it's, you know, 2 hours, 4 hours, whatever you can offer up. It's an incredible program, and you're doing God's work under the radar, right? So it all helps.
Then on Sunday, we will be signing people up to Ring that want to. Some people aren't technology savvy, so we will have internet out there and be able to physically sign people up that may want to ring but don't want to have to go through the hassle of going to register to ring. So
how many slots do you have, do you know?
A lot. I was going to look and count them up, but I didn't think I could count that high.
Oh, okay. All right. Mel, are you still ringing? Do you still ring?
Yes, from time to time.
You have a favorite spot? I always ring it. I try to ring at Fairway.
Myself. I know you do, and we appreciate that. On Christmas Eve.
Yep, it's always Christmas Eve.
Thank
many times, many years before COVID, I would hop on a plane the next day because, you know, usually you get pretty good deals when you fly on Christmas Day.
Right.
And I'd go somewhere warm for a week and then come back on New Year's Eve Day because, again, not everybody wants to fly on New Year's Eve Day and you get a pretty good rate. But I would jump on the plane after ringing bells on Christmas Eve at Fairway here in Faribault. So
I think you relieved me at Fairway on one of those shifts.
I did.
And you know what, Gordy? Irene Eiler relieved me, and that was pretty early on. And, you know, in my bell ringing experience last year. And I'm thinking, good Lord, if Irene Eiler, who is in her mid-90s, is coming to ring the bell, I need to step up my game. And I did as much as I could. Wish I could do more. But we do what we can do.
Well, let's get them slots filled, right, Randy?
That'd be great.
You know what I love is with the families that come out. I remember one year there were some kids and they were singing.
Yep.
By the, you know, the parents were there and the kids were singing, and it was really a very cool thing.
What's really fun, this group, American Heritage Girls, they're from ages 6 to 15 or so, and they take a whole day at Fairway, and 3-4 of them are there at a time with a parent or two, and they're having so much fun singing, and that's when it really touches your heart, when you see these kids just having a great time, and people love to give when they see families out there.
Now, I want to emphasize, you don't have to sing. I don't sing. We want people to give money. If I sang, they would run away.
Yeah.
So I don't sing. That concludes today's AM Minnesota. Again, the Red Kettle Kickoff Concert and Benefit is Sunday, 2 to 4 at